Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled The Ascension Process: How to Get to the Other Side and What Happens When We Get There. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
In 1977, I was a Christian minister ordained and a chaplain of the Pima County Jail, a volunteer chaplain at a halfway house. And I thought I knew a little bit about the other side as a Christian minister. But it wasn't until my seven-year-old daughter died that I really felt a special connection to the other side. You see, she died at 7 years old on the seventh month in 1977. So 7777 means a lot to me, more than most people. Because I've said this before to my group here, when somebody so beautiful is with you one day and not with you the next, it's pretty life-changing. And I had thought I know God, and I did know God, but I really didn't feel connected to the other side until she was on the other side. Then I felt connected. It's hard to explain. I had taught salvation as I knew it as a Christian minister, and now I don't even like the word. And the word salvation brings up in many people's minds negative connotations and man-made doctrines that have to do with where the soul goes after death, and if you don't do it right, you're not going to get there, kind of a thing. Those who read the Urantia book, they know that there is no hell, and that basically hell is living on this fallen world, right here, right now. This is hell, a world of confusion, particularly when it comes to the spiritual world, particularly when it comes to the religious world, the metaphysical world, a world of confusion, a world of ugly, ugly selfishness and competition. You know, when you're a little kid, you grow up with dreams in your heart of wanting to be something. And then you find out as you get older that there are actually people who don't want you to be what you want to be. They don't want to help you be what you want to be. Who are jealous and envious of you. What an ugly thing envy is. What an ugly thing jealousy is. But then I thought of Dina on the other side. That was her name, Dina de Lerba, in case you guys would like to know. I couldn't relate the continued ugliness that I saw in people with Dina, who was so innocent and pure at 7 years old. She had beautiful long hair, almost down to the ground, like this woman over here at 7 years old, just like her mother did. And so, keeping my heart and eye on Dina on the other side, I compared her to people. And I said, boy, they got a long way to go. You know, she was only seven. Now, she was an older soul. She wasn't a new soul. And I didn't even know anything about that then as a Christian minister. But all I knew is she was special. And she was innocent and pure. The Urantia book teaches an ascension process from mansion world to mansion world, starting with the seven mansion worlds of a local system called Satania, and then including 570 different bodies, human bodies, more each time, less material and more spiritual. 570 different bodies as we transverse throughout the local universe of Nebadon. I asked God, which one does Dina have? I asked God, is Dina coming back? I asked a lot of questions. I missed her. The Urantia book began to give me more answers about the other side. And there were some answers I didn't like because it went against my Christian doctrine. So I tried to prove it wrong. Boy, did I try to prove it wrong. But I asked God to show me the truth, because I wanted the truth more than being an ordained Christian minister. I wanted the truth. Unfortunately, there are actually some people that don't even make it to the first mansion world. The very first one. They're so iniquitous in their soul that they can't even ascend to the first mansion world. Some go into a sleep state, and then there's a judgment, and then they go to the first mansion world if they want to keep on ascending. The difference is, they know there's some big, bad dudes called angels, for real, because they see them. And they see they're with the army of God. So they're more likely to do it right, because they know there's somebody bigger and badder than they are. Definitely. So I wonder where Dina was. First mansion world, second mansion world, third. Or is she coming back? But I didn't think about is she coming back then, because I didn't know about coming back then. All I knew is from reading the Urantia book, there was an ascension process at that time. Some souls are so spiritually advanced that they skip the first mansion world and they go all the way to the seventh one, or one in between. And I said, well, I'm sure that's where Dina is, one of those other ones in between, or up there, way up there on the seventh one. How can I get there, Lord? I don't want to spend time on the first. I want to go right where she is, as quickly as I can. What do I got to do to get there? Well, you got to be careful what you ask for. I do it again, but it's not an easy path, ascension. It's painful. And we live in such a world today, everybody wants everything easy. Instant this, instant that, instant spirituality. Touch me and I'll be healed. Let me put my arms around your aura. I'll clear your aura and you'll be healed instantly. Well, it's all a bunch of baloney, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't work like that. No person on earth has that kind of power. No one. You have to earn it. You have to earn it by your purity. Your purity. And that's up there, man. That's up there in a seventh mansion world stuff. That's up there in angelic spheres. That's up there. Healing is a big word. Not so easy to be healed on this planet. We got diseases physical, we got diseases mental, we got diseases emotional. We got all kinds of diseases of that thing we call the body. And many of them we cause ourselves. The Urantia book says on page 542, verse 2, Paragraph 2. When you traverse the Urantia life of Nebadon, that's our local universe, These some patient and skillful Maranchan power supervisors, these are big bad boys, will successfully provide you with 570 Maranchan bodies, each one a phase of your progressive transformation. From the time of leaving the material worlds until you are constituted a first-stage spirit on Salvington, the capital of our local universe where Jesus resides, you will undergo 570 separate and ascending Marantia changes. 8 of these occur in the system of Satania, 71 in the constellation of Melanchthon, and 491 during the sojourn on the spheres of Salvington itself. Then when you reach what's called Central Paradise, also called Havona, when I say reach Central Paradise, you reach the outer edge of it, the very outer edge. Then you travel through 1 billion perfect worlds. As you get closer and closer then to the 21 worlds of the Trinity, the Universal Father, the Eternal Son, and the Infinite Mother Spirit. So the question is, how does the soul make it from this fallen world to even the first mansion world, the first one? Each religion has its own doctrine of salvation. Some say you have to be baptized at birth, and you can never lose it. Once you're baptized at birth, eternal salvation. Others say you have to be baptized as an adult and never lose it. That doctrine is actually called Calvinism. Others say you have to be totally immersed in water. So in my young life, I was immersed in water, I don't know how many times. In the ocean, sprinkled in black churches in the south. Matter of fact, if you didn't speak in tongues when you were fully immersed, you weren't saved. They almost drowned me 3 times. And finally, I got it. And I come up and say, you're saved, bro. Some say you got to be baptized in the name of the Father. Some say you got to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son. Others say you have to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Others say you have to be strictly baptized in the name of Jesus Christ alone and washed in his blood and sound like a Southern Baptist. That's what I've been sounding like, a Southern Baptist. Some say in other religions you have to reach Nirvana, in the state of enlightenment in the Eightfold Path. Some say you have to reach the state of the Kundalini, clear all your circuitry and your chakras. Others say you have to be a positive thinker and be able to manifest your heart's desire strictly by your positive thoughts. Why, you can have everything you want on earth. Like I said earlier, we live in a very confused world. What is it to be holy? Some individuals, they wear robes to be holy. White ones, brown ones, red ones. They wear collars. They shave their heads. Some wear long beards. That really makes them wise. The longer the beard, the wiser they are. Ever meet a guy with a long beard? Some, listen to this one. They actually think if they can look directly into the sun for 5 minutes, they're going to make it to heaven. They're really holy. They're special. They're really spiritual. Even though they just blinded themselves the rest of their life. Some actually could have communication with the dolphins. Hey, I like dolphins. They're beautiful swimmers. They're very nice with human beings. They're really wonderful. But I wouldn't want a dolphin to fly my airplane. Not at 5 feet, not at 5,000 feet, not at 25,000 feet. No way, Joe. No way, Jack. It's a dolphin. It's an animal. It's a mammal. Humans are different. Humans have beyond the fifth adjutant mind spirit. You have to study the Urantia book. They have the sixth and seventh adjutant mind spirit. The ability to know God and worship God. That's what humans have. What is this mystery of ascension that God's planned for eternity? Every good book and every religion says that there will be a day of reckoning, a judgment day. Every book. It's not just a Christian fundamentalist. Every book. They're all waiting for some Messiah to come back. What is it that God is really looking for in us? I know our good looks, right? Our riches, our nice ride, our degrees, our abundance of knowledge that we got from the universities. What is it that God's looking for in us? What is a good Catholic? A good Jew? A good Christian? A good Buddhist? A good Muslim? A good Hindu? What's that? What is that? Of course, some of the fundamentalists of every one of those religions say you have to be one of those religions to make it to heaven or to receive salvation. Every one of them say that. If you really study deep in every one of those religions, that's what they all say. If you meet them on the corner, they might not say that because they don't want to get an argument with you. But if you study those religions, that's what it says. You have to be a good Hindu, a good Catholic, a good Buddhist, a good Christian, a good Catholic, good Jew, or you ain't saved, bro. What do you think we're killing each other for all over the world with the machine guns? It's a religious war. It always was and always will be. And the name of God and the name of Allah and the name of Judah and the name of whatever. Each religion thinks theirs is the best. What is God looking for? Well, at some point in one spiritual journey, they may come to a place where they realize that the gods, plural, God the Father, God the Son, God the Infinite Mother Spirit, the Master Spirits, the Ancient of Days, the Creator Sons, perhaps they're all looking for one thing and one thing only in every soul. Purity. Boy, I tell you, you got enough purity, that erases lots of sins. Lots of mistakes, lots of errors you make. Purity. If your motives are right, you got something going for you, bro. Your motives are wrong, you're going to suffer the consequences of cause and effect that God put into effect from day one of eternity. Talk about the Big Bang, you're going to get bombed. Hindus called karma. Back in the streets back east, what comes around goes around. You hear that when you're this big. Okay, man, go ahead, bro. But what comes around goes around. Maybe I might not want to do that. If you have a little bit of healthy fear for consequences, that's great. That's good. Have that for the rest of your life. Because when you lose it, you lose it bad. And you will find out that your dreams were not becoming true in this life, maybe not even the next one. You will find that you will not meet your complement. That special man or woman that you want in your life, you'll find out that you may not meet that person. Because how are you going to get it? Compatibility dating? Internet dating? God is the only way. You know, you've never been taught that till now. That's because the other side doesn't want you to know that. So they've been trying to keep you from learning any of that. Well, I'm 60 years old now. I'm just learning. That's okay. You got eternity. But wouldn't it be better to learn it now? No book has all the truth. If you go by the book, you ain't got it. No book. Not the Urantia book, not Cosmic Family Volumes, not the Quran, not the Book of Mormon. No book has all the truth. There wouldn't be a book big enough. You know what the truth is? God loves you and wants to grant the desire of your heart. That's the book. So if you die and never get fulfilled in this life, what would the Father do? He would fulfill you. Or he wouldn't be a loving father. What about it, fathers? Don't you want to fulfill the dreams of your children? Don't you think God does too? It's people in this world that try to stop you from fulfilling your dreams, not God. Don't believe those books. Read what it says and then go to God. Don't believe what I say unless it touches the inner depths of the truths of your heart. Then believe it. I may miss a few things here and there. I try not to. I feel very responsible when I'm up in front of people talking and teaching. And I have a healthy fear of God. Purity of heart. Happy are the pure in heart, it says in the Urantia book and in the New Testament and in other books. For they shall see God, the pure in heart. Not the Harvard degree, not the $1 billion, not the movie stardom, not any of that. Purity of heart. Jesus referred more to that faith, that purity that man should have in himself and in his fellow man. That faith which a parent has in his child, which enables him to love his fellows even as a father would love them. A father's love needs not pamper, and it does not condone evil, but it is always anti-cynical. Fatherly love has singleness of purpose, and it always looks to the best in man. That is the attitude of a true parent. The pure in heart will always seek the will of God. Not the will of your wife, not the will of your husband, not the will of your mother or father, not the will of your brother or sister. Jesus said, if you can't love me more, then you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. The will of God. And then if your husband and wife come together and understand the will of God together, that's called marriage. And it's really very important to have spiritual unity together as husband and wife. If you don't have that, good luck. Good luck. Marriage 4, marriage 5, 6. After about 5 or 6 kids all wondering who their real mother and father is, that's this world. Spiritual unity. Try it on your first marriage. You might not get divorced. I went through 2 divorces, so I know whence I talk. One with a child, the one that died. It is written both in the Urantia book and the New Testament that those who do the will of God and other spiritual books And every religion says that those who do the will of God are God's true children, pure in heart. Because if you're not pure in heart, you won't want to do the will of God. You want to do your own will. You want to do what makes you comfortable. You want to do what your parents say. You want to do what your wife says. You want to do whatever. But do you want to do the will of God? Some interpret that to mean that you have to be in a particular religion to reach heaven or to receive salvation. Of course, it's always their religion, right? I believe that the will of God can be very, very broad, particularly on a fallen world like this one, and that many people can be in the perfect will of God as much as they can be, as Christians, as Jews, as Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, and Jesusonians. That's us. Who embrace the epical revelation. We call ourselves Jesusonians. I believe that when you stand before the Ancient of Days, they're not going to ask you if you are one of those religions. They're not going to say, are you a good Jew? You good Catholic? They're not going to say that. They're going to judge you by the purity of your heart. And that's all. The purity of your heart. Reading any spiritual texts, such as the Old Testament, New Testament, the Kabbalah, the Upanishads, the Quran, Tibetan Book of the Dead, and the Urantia Book, or the Cosmic Family volumes, and having all the knowledge in the world, would not necessarily get you to the first mansion world. Because you can study all that stuff, but if you don't know that God in your heart, and you aren't pure in heart, none of it means nothing. Unless you are constantly striving to be like God, having knowledge about God, would do you no good at all. Because you have to put into practice in your heart what you have read with your head and your mind. You have to fuse your mind with your heart. You have to feed your soul, not just your mind. And the only way to feed the soul is by being pure. Another word for pure, loosely, can be loving. Loving and pure goes hand in hand. The words love, purity, and charity all mean the same thing, basically. Serving others. Putting others before yourself. Being compassionate. Being kind. Being sensitive. Being non-judgmental. Being trustworthy. Being patient. That's purity. That's love. That's charity. So your degree as a doctor will not get you any closer to the first mansion world, because the factory worker who has all these attributes in their life, all these attributes of God in their soul, will get there faster than the doctor of theology without those attributes. When I was a young Christian minister in Tucson, I used to have a spiritual counselor. I was 30, 31, I don't know. You know who he was? He was a gardener at the University of Arizona, a black man. He knew the Lord better than any man I ever met. He had about 8 or 9 kids. Didn't make much money, but he was happy. He had a peace in him I couldn't fathom. And I'd sit and talk to him at his feet, and he'd tell me about God. And I'd listen. I listened to him before I listened to any minister in any of those churches, church of 10,000 people who never can see the pastor because there's too many people in the church. I couldn't get to that pastor, but I can get to the guy at the gardener, University of Arizona. I didn't have to make an appointment. I just walked up and started talking to him. As a matter of fact, it says very, very clearly in the first In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13, And I'm sure you've heard this before, but let me run it through your consciousness again. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, and some versions say purity, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. With all your gift of tongues, with all languages you speak. If I have a gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, or let me phrase it this way, if I'm a known, renowned psychic, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, you couldn't move a pebble. Couldn't move a pebble if you don't have love. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a godly man or woman, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but one day face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Now have faith, hope, and love. Abide in these three. But the greatest of these three is love. So then being a Gersonian to me means incorporating all the truths of all the religions and adding the Urantia book and the Cosmic Family volumes because it's epical revelation, also known as the fifth and continuing fifth epical revelation. This knowledge of the fifth epical revelation and continuing gives the Gersonian higher understanding of the cosmology of the master universe that the Father has created. But unless purity of heart is practiced in the life of the Gersonian, all that knowledge means nothing, and the indigenous aborigine who never picked up one holy book of any kind, of any religion, we'll get to the first mansion world before you do with all your Gersonian knowledge. So the true secret of eternity is not positive thinking or knowledge, but it is the purity of the heart. Combine that purity of the heart with epical revelation, and all the angels of God will be working with you to help you to meet whatever destiny God has ordained for you. Want some help? That's the way to get it. And you will become then, at some point in your spiritual thinking, a spiritual leader. Because that's what God wants you to become. Every one of you. And there's room. There are trillions and trillions and trillions of inhabited worlds with all kinds of different beings on it. All humans are mortal, but not all mortals are human. All kinds of different beings. And God is training us to be spiritual leaders, to go to other fallen worlds and teach. You will become a soul watcher. You can't get that training in any university, can you? A soul guardian. And eventually, you are destined to become a mandated minister in divine administration, and eventually an elder, a human elder in divine administration, and eventually a liaison minister, and eventually, believe it or not, you can even become a planetary prince or princess of a whole planet. Wow, what a goal. For one day in your ascension process, one of those stars you see up there in the sky might just be the planet in which you will become the highest ascended spiritual mortal on it, the planetary prince or princess. In charge of all the souls on the planet. That's a goal, isn't it? Quite a goal. And all you need to do to begin this eternal journey is to pray for purity of heart. That's it. That's simple. Yes, pray for wisdom. Yes, pray for faith. But above all that, pray for love. Pray for purity of heart.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase. An ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.